Well, we are going back to our series on what will we do with this new year that God has given us. And I actually have two texts that I want to look at, one of them in Romans and the other one in Corinthians. And the thought that we're following is, what will you give up this new year? Now, this is not like a New Year's resolution where you're giving up ice cream to lose 5 pounds. It's not that kind of giving up. But these texts are speaking to how Paul changed or gave things up in order to reach as many people as he could for Christ, and also his advice to Christians on giving things up to build up or edify other Christians. So I'm going to start and look at the Romans passage, which is Romans 14, 13 through 23. And it says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things that make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Then I want to also look at the Corinthians, which is also coincidentally 13 through 23, 1 Corinthians 9. "Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying vain. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. For what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So as free people who have received the free gift of grace, which is salvation through Christ, I am asking you, what will you give up? And before you accuse me of making no sense, I have to tell you the gospel's where I'm going. Paul says that the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. For the same Christ who said, the Son of God shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed, in John chapter 8, also said that when you do all the things that are commanded to you, you are unprofitable servants, for you have only done that which you ought to have done. That's in Luke chapter 17. And so the natural man, it makes no sense at all to become free and then turn back and work twice as hard for the one who made you free. Because he'd say, I'm going down the road. So I'm working with the two texts here, and I'm going to start with the Corinthian text. And Paul is defending his ministry here, and he's explaining his practice of not taking money from those to whom he preaches. And we're getting some byplay there that, you know, he preaches for nothing, so that's what it's worth. Not taking money does not make him less of an apostle. For he's under compulsion to preach. He wants to preach. He desires to preach. And so preaching becomes what he ought to do. We know he worked hard to support himself so he could give out the gospel at no cost. And he had a right to get his living from the gospel that he preached. And he said so. But he wanted to give more. He gave up his right to gain his living from the gospel to give more. Now, if we look at Paul, he was a Hebrew, he was a Pharisee. He made a lifestyle out of the law and separation. The Pharisees separated themselves totally from the Gentiles and practiced also separation from the Jews, didn't follow their interpretation of the law. And so Paul did this. He was known and respected by the teachers of the time. And he was comfortable with his life. He, in the four corners of his life, he knew what was expected. He knew what he was supposed to do. But he met the Messiah on the road to Damascus, and he became free in his salvation of Christ. And he became a new and different person. The Son made him free. He was free indeed. And we see the power of being made free, but we also see Paul striving to do what? More than he ought to do. Paul gave up a lifetime of separation from the Gentiles to become the apostle to the Gentiles. These people were considered unclean. The Pharisees would not even buy grain or olive oil from Gentiles for fear that the uncleanness would come and cling to them, of the Gentiles. They were compared to dogs, which they weren't like the family pet that sleeps on your couch. They were scavengers that lived in the garbage dump outside the city walls. So he preached to the Gentiles, but he also had a heart for the Jews. And the record shows that he went to the synagogues in every city. His start would be the Old Testament law and prophets, and he was preaching Christ to the Jews. Now, Paul was a Roman citizen, as clearly stated, but he submitted to the Jewish law and the Jewish synagogue. What did that mean? It meant when they got mad at him, They gave him 40 strokes of the rod minus one. He got 39 strokes on his bare back from the synagogue. And he didn't have to. He could have said, I'm a Roman citizen. You can't beat me. You got to go to the Roman courts, not the Jewish courts, and the Roman courts would have never considered it. But if he would not accept the authority of the synagogue, neither would he have access to go in there and preach. Now, if today you were told, you can go and preach in such and such a place, but if they don't like what you say, they're going to give you 39 strokes with a rod. I tell you what, that wouldn't be a real big inducement to go there, but he went. He went. He was willing to pay the price because submission to the synagogue gave him entry to the synagogue where he could preach. And he saved some Jews there in those synagogues. He didn't want the synagogue door to close. To the Gentiles who knew little or nothing about the Jewish law, he became as one without the law, although he was always under the law and commands of Christ. So reference to the Jewish law wouldn't really have helped him with the Gentiles. And there were synagogues proclaiming the Jewish law in virtually every city where he preached. And so, although he was a free man, a Roman, he became a slave to all so he could win the more to Christ. And the giving up of his freedom to work harder than any slave was voluntary. And a driving force behind all of his work was his desire to win the lost. So he says, I've become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. Paul stepped out of his culture. He stepped out of his comfort zone. He shed his national identity, really, and embraced hardship. He worked harder to spread the gospel, arduous travels, shipwreck. He looked at those he preached rather than himself, and he tried by any means to reach them and come at them where they were. In my life as a human resource director, I've dealt with supervisors many times, and I've told them, you take your people as you find them, not as you wish they were. This is what you have. Work with it. Deal with it. If we look at the portion in Romans, it's a different facet of the jewel that was Paul. He's talking about eating and drinking, and he believed that nothing was unclean in itself. Jesus taught that the things coming out of the heart of a man defile him, not the things coming in. He says, you know, whatever you eat is going to go in your stomach. Eventually it's going to end up in the toilet. It's done. It doesn't defile you. What defiles you are the thoughts and motives of your heart and mind if they come out in evil. Those are the things that would defile a man. And Paul was free, but he had no intention of abusing his freedom in a way that would harm other Christians. He goes on to say, do not judge the other Christian. Make up your mind not to put out a stumbling block. This is advice regarding eating and drinking. It can hold true in other places and other parts of life as well. The weak Christians not to judge the strong Christian, and strong Christians not to hold the weaker brother in contempt. So the thread here is willingness to give something up for the benefit of another, and the problems are coming from someone who says, I don't want to give anything up. I'm not giving anything up. Why should I give anything up? The Jews wanted to embrace Jesus as the Messiah. They wanted the Holy Spirit. They didn't want to give up their law and traditions. They wanted to cling to those. They'd been raised in those things. So in order to keep those things going, they were teaching that the Gentile Christians needed also to take up the Jewish law and the various traditions in order to keep their salvation or to be saved. Now, they couldn't be bothered to think of the confusion they were causing. For new Gentile Christians, this was hard. They had to sort all of this out. They had no depth in the Old Testament scriptures. I had a phone call the other night, and it was about a church, which I shall not name, and they were arguing. What were they arguing about? Whether the ladies working in a nursery should always wear skirts and dresses and never wear pants. Deja vu all over again. What are you willing to give up? Answer, nothing at all. Don't want to do anything. Don't want to change anything. Don't want to accommodate anything. Don't want to change what's been done since 1940. Okay. Some of the Gentile Christians who had feasted on meat offered to idols for years, and they had perhaps engaged in some of the other facets of pagan idol worship, and we know they did from other things in the Corinthians. They said, we're saved Christians now. Christ is all in all. Idols are nothing. They're nothing to us. Meat offered to idols is going to rot. They can't eat it. Why shouldn't we enjoy a cheap meal? We don't care. Those idols don't mean anything to us. But they didn't stop to think a brand new Christian might need to stay out of the idol's temple and might be confused by seeing fellow Christians eating there or drinking wine that had been also offered to an idol. Perhaps he might be tempted to go back to the old idol worship ways that was so very prevalent. He said, well, this other guy is a good Christian and he does it. Maybe I can do it too. Maybe it's all right. Because the conviction an idol is nothing or something offered to an idol is nothing might not be so strong in a new Christian. He might be having trouble sorting it out. A key section here is 14, 17 through 19, saying the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So it's crucial to separate the vital things from issues that really could go either way. And I am going to be bold enough to tell you that the kingdom of God is not a skirt and dress or a pants on a woman. If she wears slacks, I don't care, as long as they got some slack in them. What we're looking at is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The vital things are the important things, and a person who is looking for those things is what? Acceptable to God and approved by men. God looks at what he's doing, and maybe people appreciate that you're not nitpicking all the time. In the case the point is still missed, Paul adds, we need to pursue the things which make for peace and building up or edification of another. If they need to be built up, if they need to grow as a Christian, help them. Do something. Do some good. And so from both of these texts, we see a thread of being willing to give up certain things. Paul left a comfortable life. He became a missionary to people he formerly shunned, people that the Jews really despised. And we really don't have a notion of how strong that was. But when Paul was making his defense in Jerusalem, they were listening to him. They were going along with him until he said these words. The Lord said, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Look up the defense in Jerusalem, you'll find it. And when he did that, they started screaming. They started throwing dust in the air. They started tearing their clothes. And the centurion said, what are they doing? I don't get it. I don't understand. They were going to beat him to make him tell them why the crowd was so upset. But instead, he decided to serve God and bring salvation to as many as possible. And he walked away from a situation where he knew the people, he knew the customs, he knew the rules, what was expected of him. And he went out to accomplish a mission, not knowing just where he was going to go or what was in store for him. He left a world where he was respected. And he went out. And what did the Jewish leaders say to the Romans? This fellow is a real pest and a troublemaker and a ringleader in the sect of the Nazarenes. He gave up the right to make his living from the gospel in his desire to provide it free of charge. And we know he was in danger every hour, often beaten, chased from town to town. When he says pursue the things that make for peace and building up of one another, this is a choice. It's a clear choice. There were some things in the early church which led to controversy and strife, but others which led to peace and edification. And so we're not supposed to pursue or closely chase the things that lead to strife. We're supposed to pursue the things that lead to edification. And there's been different issues down through the years that have been argued about. So the question then that all of us must ask as individuals, what are we willing to give up? Like Paul, we have customs, people, tradition, familiar things. These things we value. We like things to be done our way. And humans in general love the familiar security of patterns of behavior that have been seen as good over the years. If you take a small child, they thrive on, you know, going to bed at a certain time, maybe a certain bedtime story, maybe a certain song, whatever it is, maybe a certain book. You've read it to them 150 times. You ask them, what shall I read you? Same book. Same book. They fear leaving familiar things. They fear change. And so Paul was willing to give up all of these things for the cause of Christ. He said, I'll change everything. I'll change everything. Doesn't matter to me. So he tried to be all things to all men in an effort to save some. And he took the basic message of salvation through faith, and he presented it in a way that the audience of the day could appreciate and understand. So he didn't say, I'm a Jewish Pharisee. Take me as I am. Listen to me as I expound the law of Moses. He didn't do that. But he was exercising flexibility to take the hearers as he found them. He had learned something. You take your people as they are, not as you wish they were. He knew that. And in a very personal choice, such as what he ate or drank, he was willing to give up things for fellow believers. Perhaps a person is already carrying a heavy load. You don't know. Why would you want to scatter stumbling blocks in front of them so they might fall? His explanation to the Romans was the kingdom of heaven was not eating and drinking. In other words, it's not an important issue. So why do you take an unimportant issue and make it important, make it a centerpiece? I do this, I want to do this, Therefore, everybody should do this. Even though you are free, why insist upon your rights when the exercise of such rights might put another person in jeopardy? The things that are important, and I don't mind saying it again, are righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. These are things that matter. These are things that last. If you serve in this way, it's acceptable to God, and you'll find approval from men. The bickering will fade away if the fire doesn't get any fuel. Don't pull wood on the fire, fire will die out. All of us chase different things in our outside life and here in the church. All of us chase different things. That's not necessarily a bad thing either. It's more of a reflection of the diversity of talent and ability in the congregation. This one is interested over here. This one is interested over there. It could be a good thing. There are many tasks that need to be done. And Paul gives a guiding principle. Chase the things that make for peace and building up of one another. There will certainly be other issues, and there will certainly be problems. And sometimes those problems will come right to your door. But there's no need to chase them. If it's important enough that you're going to have to deal with it, that issue is going to come, it's going to knock right on your door. Then you won't be chasing it, you'll be dealing with it. So what drove Paul was a desire to further the gospel and to edify those who are already saved. Get them in, get them saved, build them up. That, in a nutshell, is the function of the church. So he became all things to all men, so that by all means he could at least save some. That was his whole desire of his heart. That should be our goal as well. To be all things to all men, so that by all means we can save some. We'll have our closing hymn now. Mm-hmm.